Welcome. You're listening to Latin Waves with your hosts, Sylvia and Stuart Richardson. Latin Waves is more than just hot rhythms. This is a show about community, about creating a culture that is inclusive and based on fairness. Because everyone deserves dignity, respect, and has something to contribute. A new world is possible, and it all starts with us. Welcome to Latin Waves. This is Sylvia Richardson. I'm joined by Maria Paez, a Venezuelan-Canadian sociologist. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for contacting me. It's always a pleasure to be on your radio station.
Paint the picture for us, if you would. What is happening in Venezuela today?
Well, the first thing to make very clear to people is this is not a coup d'etat, what's happening. What is happening is a neo-colonial war against a sovereign country in Latin America. This is the United States and its allies wanting to take over a sovereign country that is sitting on the largest petroleum reserve in the world and that has a government that dares to say that they are independent, that they want to take their own politics and policies, you know, independent of whatever the Americans want. Now, Venezuela has never been an enemy of the United States. Venezuela, in fact, Venezuelans really like the United States in terms of its culture and its people and so forth, and has always sold and wanted, has never said, none of its presidents has said, we won't sell our petroleum. What is Venezuela going to do with petroleum? Eat it? No, it wants to sell it. So here is basically a friendly country, but it did two things. You see, it decided that it wanted to be sovereign, to decide its own policies, internal and foreign, and it decided that the riches of Venezuela should not go to mostly to these foreign corporations, should not go to the elites that used to control the government, but should go for public housing, public schooling, public health, public infrastructure. The change of Venezuela, the Venezuela of these last 20 years, with the Venezuela that I knew as I was growing up, is phenomenal. I wish I could have sort of pictures that I could show you and say, this was before, this is now. So all of this is highly threatening to the United States. And now with this erratic and immoral president that they have, very ignorant president, who has surrounded himself with the worst possible presidential help. Well, Abrahams is a known war criminal who was in charge of the Contras, the violence in Central America, the violence in the Middle East. Bolton, who can't find someone who is more warmonger than Bolton. What have they done? They picked a poor man. This guy Guaido, he's a nothing, and this young man, they paid him. And he stood on a public plaza of Venezuela and said, you know, I declare myself the president of Venezuela. And countries like Canada, what a shame. I can't believe how low the Trudeau administration, his appalling foreign minister Freeland, have fallen to have trashed in such a blatant way international law. And they fill their mouth saying that they respect the rule of law. And this is ridiculous. How can you say that you recognize a man who stood on a plaza and said he was the president of Venezuela against a man who has obtained 6.5 million votes in a clean, independent elections, witnessed by 150 international observers, that not even the other candidates thought it was fraudulent? They all accepted this. So this is a farce. Any idea that what is happening against Venezuela has to do with legitimacy or democracy or that Maduro is a dictator, that is nonsense. That is what they want to wrap up their pillaging. You know what? I believe Canada is leading, the Lima Group is leading this charge against Venezuela as a quid pro quo for the trade deal that it made with the United States.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the way this
propaganda model has developed, because if you look at academics have long talked about what manufacturing consent meant, right? In the 1980s,
yes, Noam Chomsky exactly.
wrote a book about manufacturing consent, this idea that they can create a sort of process to create public consent. In this case, they're using, you know, images of people leaving the country to declare that this is an issue of humanitarian crisis of sorts. Now, just as an example, El Salvador is a country of 6 million people, and by any record, they would tell you that there's more than half its population living abroad, and yet it's never been declared a country in crisis or any, you know, anything like that. However, in the case of Venezuela, this is being used as an example. Can we talk a little bit about what the numbers
yes.
in terms of...
This is a clear model that they applied in Libya, and they applied in Ukraine, and also they applied in, of course, the famous weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. So this is what they do. They set up a puppet government. They then try to... manufacture this dissent, usually using a what's called a red flag. They promote some sort of horrible incident of killing or some of the other, and say that this is due to the other side. And then the third is they take over the country. So this is what the model they're trying to apply to Venezuela, the same one they applied for Libya, the same one they applied to Ukraine. The photos that appeared yesterday in the newspapers here in Toronto was of a huge march supporting Guaido. Well, it so happened that I spoke with three people who were at that march. I called up, I picked up my phone, and they said, no, it was hardly anybody there. The photo that was published here by the Toronto Star and elsewhere were photos of the past or some other demonstration some other time, but it wasn't this one. So they're manufacturing consent, as you say. These migrants on the border with Colombia, well, most of them are Colombians. There are 6 million Colombians living in Venezuela. But more than that, many of them live on the border. So if you ever go here to the border with the United States, you know, in Windsor and such, you know that there are people who work on both sides of the border and go here and go there. Well, the same thing in Venezuela. You have a population that regularly goes back and forth along that border. And many of them, as I say, are, now that the situation is bad, are Colombians going back to their country because they came to Venezuela when things were okay. Now they want to leave because, you know, the squeeze that the sanctions, the economic blockade that has been established against Venezuela, just like the one against Cuba. So they use these pictures of these migrants. They use these pictures of these supposed marches, which are fraudulent. They don't exist. So they manipulate this in a terrible, really open lies. All of this in order to justify the violence that they are really actually perpetrating. Now, this is a clear plot. They're trying to do the same thing they did in Ukraine. In Ukraine, they established an extremely right-wing government in Ukraine. In Libya, well, poor Libya. I don't even want to think about Libya. Libya used to be a very viable country with a very high standard for its region, and it's destroyed. Now, this is all started a long time ago, and the mantra is Maduro is a dictator. Maduro is a terrible person. Maduro is a dictator. Well, I don't know how they get to this, how they are so virulent against Maduro, especially a country like Canada that has such good relationships with Saudi Arabia, you know, a country whose officials killed, a journalist and dismembered him inside and one of their embassies, but yet nothing against, you know, Saudi Arabia. So you see, this is all a hypocrisy. Venezuela is a little country, so they think, oh, we can take it over. But they've got another thing coming, because Maduro is no dictator. Maduro is very much loved by his people. Do you know what there has happened since a week ago when all of this has started? The people have surrounded the presidential palace and are there permanently because they want to protect the president. They feel that if they stay outside the presidential palace, you know, they will be able to protect it. Now, a people doesn't do that for a dictator, but the love that the Venezuelans have shown both for Chavez and for Maduro is extraordinary, which I've never seen in any other, you know, politician government
I would argue that is not so much love for their president, but love for their own autonomy and right to elect
exactly
whoever they want as president. It's not about the person, it's about their own self-dignity.
I totally agree. Since the United States started this attack on Venezuela, you should see the fervor of the Chavistas. It's like they had set them on fire. They are incensed. And I'll tell you something, I'm also in contact with people in the opposition. The people in the opposition are furious about what the Americans are doing. The leader, the guy used to be the main leader of the opposition, Capriles, I don't know whether you remember his name, he came out against Guaido, saying this is an outrage. So many of the sort of seasoned politicians of the opposition are against what's happening here. You know, in Venezuela, there's a lot of people in the opposition, you know, about 16 opposition parties and such. Three are the biggest and such. But the United States and Canada has allied itself with the one tiny party that espouses violence. They were the ones who did La Salida, went on the street, killed people, 114 people killed, burned young men alive because they looked Chavista. This is Guaido, Leopoldo López, and Maria Corina Machado, who was just interviewed on CBC Radio 2 days ago. So we must get this farce out of our heads. This is not about democracy. This is not about Maduro being a dictator. This is not about elections. This is all about a neo-colonial war. That is, they want to establish a new colonization of Venezuela. They want to establish Venezuela as a puppet, a state, and they would control its resources. This is what it's all about, a new way of colonizing. And one of their main, I would say, tools or weapons has been the economic. So everyone says, oh, look at this failed, you know, socialist society. Look at the terrible thing that Maduro has done, that, you know, the inflation and all of that. Well, it's a blockade, just like they did for Cuba. You know, they have robbed Venezuela of $7 billion from PDVSA. The United States has taken it in the United States, $12 billion in crude oil. They have robbed these assets that belong to Venezuela that are in the United States. Venezuela is challenging this in U.S. courts. And you know what? They're going to win, because this goes against the tenet of capitalism, which is private property. But you know what politics is. They could still keep it and not give it out. You know, they are so powerful. So I tell you, we in Canada have to be alert, because most Canadians don't know what the foreign affairs minister is doing. This foreign affairs minister, Freeland, is a disaster for Canada. She is a throwback to the Cold War. She is a rabid anti-communist, anti-socialist, anti-progressive, you know. And she has thrown all idea of Canada's sense of rights, sense of principles, the role that Canada has often had as an honest broker, all that's out the window. Canada's despised now and then. I have read, you know, article after article of writers in Latin America calling Canada, you know, the lapdog of the United States, doing the dirty work for the United States. This is a terrible situation for this country. I don't know how Canada's, reputation is going to be, you know, fixed, if ever, over this. I really am disgusted with the Trudeau administration. I'm disgusted with this phrase that Freeland keeps on saying, and Trudeau also said, we respect the rule of law. They're not respecting the rule of law of Venezuela, of Venezuela's constitution, of Venezuela's electoral law. They are trashing it. And this is so important, because you see, this goes against the charter of the UN, the charter of the OAS, against all the regulations between nations, sovereign nations. They're trashing international law. And this is This is so dangerous for every country, especially every country that's small and less powerful than this. And they go on about the rule of law, and it's a farce. It's a lie. They are playing with fire in going against the international law in trying to bring down a legitimate government in Venezuela.
Anyone that has followed the news has seen the kinds of appointments the Trump administration has made. For instance, the appointment of Carlos Becchio as the White House representative. Oh. He was named by the Senator Marco Rubio on Twitter and then ratified by the National Assembly. Now, this person was an ExxonMobil employee. So, clearly there's an issue there. But can we talk a little bit about what we, those who do not support war, those who believe that people not only do not want to be slaves of empires and, you know, want to be live sovereign and able to dictate who their government is. What are we doing right? Because I think that there's a lot of things that people in Venezuela are doing right at this moment. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that because there's a history behind this beautiful revolution. Venezuela didn't just become the Venezuela that everyone admires. When I went to South Africa, people were talking about Venezuela and all the changes that they've made. Can we talk about the significance of the Caracazo, for instance, that is, you know, it's about to celebrate yet another anniversary, and the way that this country has been formed into the autonomous and vibrant nation that they are?
Well, the Caracazo on the 27th of February, 1989, was the first public or collective protest against the dictates of the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. These institutions twisted the arm of the president at that time, Carlos Andrés Pérez, and told him, look, you know, we're going to give you some money, but these are the things you have to do. Amongst the things they had to do was to bring up the prices of public transport. And this in a country at that time that had, you know, people absolutely depended on sometimes only one bus route. I mean, it was pretty bad. So the people woke up on this day, and they went to the bakery and found out that the bread was about 5-6 times more expensive than it was the day before. Many of them went to catch a bus, and they couldn't take it because, again, it was about 10 times higher from one day to the other, without any kind of explanation to the nation. The prices were just jacked up. So the people took to the streets. Venezuelans do that, you know. They took to the streets to protest this. You know what the army did? You know what the government did? It kept the army units from Caracas inside the barracks. And they brought in basically young recruits from the interior of the country so that they wouldn't, you know, be of the same people that were there. And they slaughtered the people on the streets. Some say 3,000, but, you know, it was just horrendous. And that made an incredible impression on the whole country. I have newspapers from that time, and you had people who were more or less center or right or whatever also speaking the horror that had occurred. Well, the people didn't forget that. And one of the people who didn't forget that was Chavez. Chavez happened to have, I think it was malaria at that time, one of his bouts of malaria, and he was sick. And so he didn't go out, and many of his units weren't called. But afterwards, he called a meeting of his soldiers, and he said, we have to make an oath right here, and there's this famous tree in Venezuela that Bolivar stood beside. They said, we must make a sacred oath that our arms will never be turned against our people. He said, they are using us for their own purpose, and they're making us kill our own people. And that is the basis of the loyalty of the armed forces of Venezuela with its constitution. So when you hear the leader of the army, the main general speaking, the first thing he says, we are here to defend the constitution of Venezuela. This is not understood by Ms. Freeland or Mr. Trudeau. and all these appallingly corrupt governments of the Lima group. So the Caracazo was a seminal moment in the life, in the political life of Venezuela, and it is remembered every year. It was spontaneous. No one was actually, there was no party or any kind of mastermind behind it. It was the spontaneous rising of the Venezuelan people, just like it spontaneously rose to protect Chavez when he was kidnapped and nearly killed in 2002. So these are important moments in the life of Venezuela, and right now is one of them, because they are beleaguered by the international press. You know what? The press here, and I've just come back from England, and over there it's equally vicious, they don't report the huge marches that have occurred all over the country in support of the Constitution and Maduro. Indeed, one of the persons that I was speaking to said to me that the march that was done by the petroleum workers and everybody else in solidarity with them was greater than the marches when Chavez was alive. So there is enormous support in Venezuela. You know, they keep saying Venezuela is a polarized nation. Well, the polarization is not equal. The majority of the people of Venezuela support its constitution and its legitimate government. And this is not what this manufacturing of consent, as you say, so polarization is like saying, oh, there, you know, 50-50. It's not 50-50. And with this recent attack on the country, it has. I've spoken with opposition people. They are appalled, and they are not following, you know, the tenets of these supposed leaders of the opposition that the United States is backing. Where is Guaido right now? You know where he is? He's holing up in the American embassy. What kind of leader, let alone president, is hiding in the American embassy? So, but what is very serious is the United States has taken Venezuela's money in Citgo. The Citgo is the oil company that it has in the United States, which is a very big one. But it will have some trouble in keeping that money, because it turns out that half of the shares of Citgo is owned by Russia. And the taking of the assets of a corporation, forget whether it's Citgo or ExxonMobil or anybody else, is robbery. And this doesn't go well amongst, you know, the rule of this capitalism that we live in. So Venezuela has sued the United States in a U.S. court, I think the New York court. And I think that they will win, because this is outrageous piracy. We're looking at pirates right here. We're looking at a neo-colonial grab. We're looking at carpetbaggers. This is what is happening right now. And all of this little fluff about democracy is just a smokescreen. The changes in Venezuela, I don't even know where to begin to tell you. First of all, literacy and education, what I read was about three-quarters of the nation is studying something. We have free education from kindergarten to university. There's no more illiteracy. I mean, this is really important. The health is due very much to the help of Cuba. We at the beginning it was only Cuban doctors. Now we have Cuban doctors, but we also have Venezuelan doctors that have been graduated under a new curricula that was, Cubans helped establish this new curricula, to do with community health and general health and all of this. And so now we have hospitals. We have more clinics that have been created than in the last 40 years, or the previous 40 years. So you go to a small town and there'll be a doctor in that small town. This is quite amazing. Then I think one of the most amazing things that have happened is the housing. If you should go to Caracas, you will see a very sparkling sort of modern city surrounded by hills and mountains. And along those hills, there's a ring of what Ali Primera called las casas de cartón, the houses of carton, of cardboard, because the slum areas were all around Caracas. Well, no more. In these last 2 years of terrible economic blockade, Venezuela has created 2.5 million public housing units. Some of these are little houses, especially in the rural areas, the houses, and some of them are low high rises. I have seen them. I've been inside them. I have looked at these really lovely houses. They're not so cheap kind of stuff. And this is a monumental achievement that I don't think any other country that I know of in the world has done. In 2 years, built 2.5 million public housing with running water, electricity, and the facilities of this sort. Why? Government says the bulk of the money that comes from that comes to the government from the sale of petroleum must go into the public sphere, the public housing, the public education, the public this, the other. It's enormous. It's 60-odd% of the income. So, of course, all of this money used to go to the private sector, you see. And that's why they're so furious against Venezuela, the elite, this wealthy elite that is behind the opposition in Venezuela. They're furious because they don't control the goose that lays the golden eggs anymore, the money that comes from the oil. And if they have to sell their soul and the soul of Venezuela to the international corporations and the United States to do it, they will be fine because they will be the minions. The minions, they will sort of control Venezuela for the sake of these people.
It inspires you not only that the Venezuelan people will defend their revolution, but also that the world will do its part to be in solidarity.
What inspires me is that we have learned through what has happened in this last decade or so in the Middle East. We have seen the bodies and the bombs and the deaths, and we are determined that this will not happen in Latin America, which has declared itself a zone of peace. So I will put all my effort, and I will beg everyone around me that I can, if you love peace, make a stand here, because we cannot afford to have war on the soil of Venezuela, because it will turn into a regional war. This, I have no doubt in my mind, any invasion of Venezuela will be a terrible thing for that country and those around it. And it will be a bad thing for the soul of Canada, for us who live here, and we cannot see our country do atrocious things without us. And I believe in the Canadian people. I think the Canadian people are a peaceful, loving people, who sometimes, unfortunately, are a bit indifferent to what the federal government is doing. But I beg those in this particular moment to please go to the candidates, especially this election that's coming, and speak up for peace and speak up for not going against a friendly country, which is a democracy in this hemisphere. I believe that the Canadian people are an honorable and peaceful people who do not want this.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for this marvelous opportunity.
Thank you again for joining us this morning.
Bye-bye.
We've come to the end of our show, Latin Waves. Latin Waves is an internationally syndicated weekly program made available through campus and community stations and available out to the world at www.latinwavesmedia.com.